Mike. Feel my heart, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a day.
Beautiful day. What a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm fired up. I'm stoked up. I'm already sweating, so you know what's fixing to happen. How many of you like NASCAR? Come on, by a show of hands, who likes NASCAR? Some people are raising their hands. Well, I used to think that NASCAR was the most dull and boring thing that you could find on TV. And why in the world would anybody ever want to go spend money to watch cars go round and round and round and round? I couldn't get it until I actually started watching it. And then when I actually started watching it, I was like, okay, this isn't so bad, but it was still kind of, I didn't really want to sit and watch the whole thing. Some of these races can be like 300, 400, 500 laps long. And for the driver, it can be grueling. And for the person watching it, especially if you don't like NASCAR, it can really be grueling. But if you find a driver and you start watching that driver, and I had my favorites at one point. I liked Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson. I loved to watch them duel with Tony Stewart. And that was back in the day when I think racing was great. I don't know about now, but when Dale Jr. was racing. And those were my days when I really started to get into NASCAR. But I started following these drivers. And as I started following these drivers, I noticed that there were pit strategies, and there were draft scenarios, and there were lead changes, and there were things that happened. There were wrecks, and there were all kinds of things that were happening. And these drivers, they were going round and round and round and round until they finally made it to the last final laps. And as they made it to the last final laps, you never knew what was going to happen. You never knew who was going to be in the top 10. You definitely never knew who was going to come out in the victor's circle. But I do know for one thing for certain, is that somebody always came out in the victor circle. Somebody always won the prize. This is a lot like life if you think about it. Every single one of us, we're going lap after lap, mile after mile, climbing mountain after mountain, going through valley after valley, just trying to get to that last lap. Because whether you like it or not, we're all going to see the last lap. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And we're all going to that last lap. And the one who finds the victor's crown is the one who has found Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The one who actually stands in the victor's circle when it's all said and done is the one who has found Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I do believe that right now, I believe that we are on the last lap of history. I do believe that that white flag is raising and we're on the last lap of history and Jesus Christ is fixing to come back. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if that doesn't excite you, we get problems. Because Jesus is fixing to come back and that should invigorate the church like it has never before. We should be going around screaming the name of Jesus from the rooftops because we know that one day certain our Lord and our Savior is coming back. And if you go before He comes back, you still get to meet Him. You know what I'm saying? Praise God Almighty that Jesus Christ is coming back. But let me tell you something about these NASCAR races. There's a lot of uncertainty in these NASCAR races. I said you never know what's going to happen in these races. And not only is there a lot of uncertainty in NASCAR races, there's a lot of uncertainty in our lives that we deal with each and every day. Every single day we face uncertainties. We don't know what's going to be around the corner. We don't know what kind of pitch is going to be thrown our way as we stand at the plate and get ready to swing. We have no idea what is fixing to happen. And if you think about it right now, the winds of change and uncertainty are blowing every single day. And it leaves all of us wondering what direction things are heading in our lives. It leaves us all wondering what direction things are heading for our country and for our world. Think about what's going on right now. We got conflict in the Middle East. We got conflict in the Ukraine. We have inflation skyrocketing. We got the winds bringing wildfire smoke from the Canadas right now. We have a drug epidemic. We deal with abortion. We have school shootings. Pornography's on the rise. right now, the LGBTQ, I think I got that right, the LG, that group, they're trying to take the rainbow and they're trying to use it as their own symbol. I got news for you. That rainbow was given to us as a symbol of God's promise, amen? And it will never, ever, ever change. And I want to say something right now. If there's someone in this sanctuary or someone that is watching or listening that is lost in the sin of homosexuality, God loves you. God loves you, and He wants you to repent of that sin, and He wants you to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And while I'm on that, in this commercial break, let me just say this. Marriage was made between a man and a what? And it will never change. Also, we've got people that are trying to, that are telling people now, you can choose what gender you want to be. And what's worse is we've got parents and people in schools in other places. I hope it's not going on here in Warren County, but in other places that are telling them they can choose what gender, that little children can choose what gender they want to be. Here's another one for you. If you were born a boy, you would die a boy. If you were born a girl, you would die a girl. That's the end of the story. There is nothing else that you can say about that. Now, in our hometown, I love Vicksburg, Mississippi. I've lived here 45 years of my life. I absolutely love it. It is my hometown. Grew up on Porter's Chapel Road before that in Marion Park Subdivision. Went to school here. My family lives here. But the things in Vicksburg are so heartbreaking right now. I mean, I just can't put my finger on what's going on. You think about it. Every time you... I love listening to David Day. Nice guy, man. But every time I listen to David Day, somebody's car is getting broken into, somebody's car is getting stolen. As a matter of fact, at Clear Creek Golf Course this past week, somebody's car got stolen. That's crazy. But not only that, in Vicksburg, Mississippi, we're finding that every time you just about turn on the news, there's a shooting. And there are places now in Vicksburg, Mississippi, that I'm glad my kids are older, because I would tell my young kids, hey, I don't want you to go there. There are places in our small retirement community that you're telling people, hey, it's not a place that I want you to actually go. What comes next in our world, brothers and sisters? I mean, if you think about it, from COVID to war to politics, what comes next? And during times like these, people are desperately searching for security and stability and a source of hope. And we long for someone to tell us that everything is going to be okay. Well, God wants you to know that everything is okay. And I'm here to tell you that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay, because even in uncertain times, we have a Father in heaven who loves us that is never uncertain. Amen? There is no uncertainty about the God that loves us and that we serve. There is no uncertainty about the God who sent His Son, Christ Jesus, to die for us. As a matter of fact, Scripture says, I, the Lord God, I am the Lord God, and I change not. So if He loved us back then, He certainly loves us right now. Amen? Praise God Almighty that no matter that the winds of uncertainty continue to blow, we know that we have a sure and certain thing in loving and serving and knowing our Father in heaven. And that is why I do believe that this book is more important to us now than it has ever been in history. If you think about this book right here, it was written to people during uncertain times. Think about Moses, Noah, Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob. Think about the apostles, and you know, Peter, and Paul, and James, and John. Think about all of those people. They were living during uncertain times, and they were living in certain times. They got the Word. We're living in uncertain times, and we have the Word. And the Bible is more relevant. I'm saying that, I'm repeating myself, because I want you to hear this. The Bible is more relevant right now than it has ever been in human history. Because this is where we should be looking for every answer to every uncertainty that we face. Life is uncertain. Life is unpredictable. Nothing seemed to surprise me anymore. I love the movie Forrest Gump. How many of y'all like the movie Forrest Gump? My wife and I went on one of our first dates to see Forrest Gump, and man, that's when she fell in love with me. I'm gonna tell you, that woman is lucky. Been lucky for a long time. She's not in here, but I loved the movie Forrest Gump, and I loved the way Forrest Gump would tell these truths, and he would do it in such a unique way, and especially like the one where he's sitting on the park bench and he looked at the woman and he said, "Those must be comfortable shoes." You can tell a lot about a person by the shoes that they wear, where they've been, where they're going. I've worn lots of shoes in my time. I love, I'm trying to do the voice, but I can't really do the voice, but gosh. I also liked it when he said, Mama always said, life is like a box of, you never know what you're going to get. And that's true. That's true. You never know what is fixing to happen. You never know. He had a way with words, but he was right. The life we live is full of twists and turns. It's full of heartaches and heartfuls. It's full of uncertainties. Life may be uncertain. But I want you to remember today that God is not. And as believers in Christ Jesus, knowing that God is in control should dictate how we handle every twist and every turn and every uncertainty in our lives. When life's uncertainties, they continually blind us. When the bills come due and there's no money. When there's a sickness and the doctor says, hey, there is no cure. When the job doesn't come through. When trouble seems to find you at every turn of the corner. How do you keep going? Today we're going to look at in Scripture a guy that went through turmoil, who went through trouble, but he found peace in the midst of turmoil. And not only did he succeed, but he learned how to thrive in the midst of turmoil. We're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles this morning. So if you have a Bible, I want you to open up to 2 Chronicles. And if you don't exactly know where that is, you look for 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and then you'll find 1 and 2 Chronicles. Now, 1 Chronicles was a book in the Bible that detailed the reign of King David. And 2 Chronicles was a book in the Bible that detailed the kings and their reign after King David. And today we're going to look at a guy named Hezekiah. Say Hezekiah. Hezekiah. We're going to look at Hezekiah. In 715 BC, Hezekiah became the king of Judah. And as Hezekiah was this guy, he grew up in, I'm hot, y'all. I'm sweating in here. Hezekiah grew up in this non-religious family. But Hezekiah married a preacher's daughter. He actually married the prophet Zechariah's daughter. So that kind of gave him some spiritual formation. And then not only that, his best friend was a guy that you probably heard of. His name was Isaiah. So in chapters 29, we're introduced to this guy, Hezekiah. And from 29 to chapter 32, we see this beautiful story of how... this amazing, beautiful story of how Judah started worshiping God again, whereas they weren't before. You see, before Hezekiah became king, they had forgotten that God existed. They were worshiping a false god. They had actually turned the temple into a storage shed, actually. And they weren't worshiping God. They weren't thinking about God. They just kind of forgot that God even existed. And it says that at 25 years of age, Hezekiah came to be the king of Judah. And when Hezekiah came to be the king of Judah and he saw all of this ungodliness, what do you think Hezekiah did as a follower of God? He went in there and he cleaned the house. He took all of the, he tore down all of their idols and everything, and he cleaned house. As a matter of fact, they were starting to enjoy some times of worshiping God as the culture was transformed by God. They were starting to enjoy times that they hadn't seen for 300 years since King David's reign. And so you get to chapter 32 in 2 Chronicles. Find chapter 32. In 2 Chronicles. And now the culture has been transformed. They're all worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, in chapter 32, verse 1, it says, after Hezekiah's faithful deeds, King Sennacherib of Assyria came and entered Judah, and he laid siege to the fortified cities and intended to break into them. Now, part of the reason that this story is so intriguing to me is because Hezekiah had been on the job for a while. He's been in the job for 11 years, and he thought that he was doing everything right. And then all of a sudden, turmoil starts to happen. Has that ever been you? Have you ever been in a place where you thought that you were doing everything right, but nothing seemed to go right? Or you thought you were doing everything right, and then all of a sudden, bam, something happened? And you were to the point where you were saying, Lord, how can this happen to me? I thought I was doing everything that you wanted me to do. I thought I was doing everything right, but now all of this is happening. Have you ever felt like saying, God, I just don't understand. I don't understand. How can I still be struggling? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9, I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, but he said to me, my grace, say grace, is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The power of Christ in you is made perfect in your weakness. Always remember that. Then it says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I'm weak because of what the world is throwing at me, I am strong because of who I am in Jesus Christ. Amen? Life is full of problems. It's full of uncertainties. But when we focus on Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ, we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I know who holds tomorrow. Look at your other neighbor and say, I know who holds tomorrow. Hezekiah knew that no matter what happened, no matter how uncertain things were going, God was in control. And we can have the same confidence. As a matter of fact, James, the brother of Jesus, he said, consider it great joy when you experience trials because of the testing of your faith produces endurance. When endurance has its full effect, you will be complete, lacking nothing. Rather than blaming God or sitting back and being depressed and worrying and filled with anxiety, Hezekiah, he just kind of takes it all in stride. And then he takes the steps to do what he is supposed to do, and he leaves the rest up to God. In times of uncertainty, what we have to remember is that we still have to keep going. We still have to live this life until our last life. We still have to continue to keep going. And we have responsibilities on this side of heaven. There's a story about a man who saw a farmer sitting out in a field. And he looked at this farmer who was sitting on his tractor in the middle of the field. Farmer looked down like he had lost his best friend. The man walked up to him and he said, hey man, what's wrong? And the farmer said, well, I'm mad with God. And he said, well, what are you mad with God for? He said, I ain't got no crops. The man looked out the field and he said, you know, there's not any crops there. Fields were barren. And so he said, well, what's wrong? Did you not have any rain? And the farmer said, no, we had good rain. The man said, well, was the fields, the soil, was it not fertile enough? And the farmer said, no, I got the best soil that I've ever had before. The man said, oh, wait a minute. If you had plenty of rain, if you had good soil, he said, well, what kind of seed did you plant? And the farmer said, well, what do you mean? I didn't plant no seed. The man looked at him and said, well, there you go. You can't expect to reap a harvest if you don't sow the seed. What we have to realize is even though we're living in this life and things may be uncertain, we've still got to keep our eye on the prize and we've got to stay focused and we still have work to do. Amen, church? The church has still got work to do. We know that Jesus is coming back soon. But the church has still got work to do and we still have a responsibility before God. Because we have to do what we have to do according to His will. So God will do what God is going to do. You think about Jesus. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He knew what was fixing to happen. He knew that He was fixing to be betrayed. He knew that He was fixing to, that His disciples were going to flee. He knew that He was going to be beat. He knew that He was going to have a crown of thorn pressed upon His head. He knew that He was going to have to carry His own cross up the Via Dolorosa to Calvary. He knew that He was going to be nailed to that cross and He hung up on that cross for the sins of the world. But He also knew that He had to do it. No matter what He had to go through, no matter the pain that He knew that He was going to have to face, He knew that He had to do it so God could do what only God could do, and that was to forgive us by His blood. We still have responsibilities this side of heaven here in history to do so God can do what He's going to do. In our passage, we see three things that King Hezekiah did that I'm going to share with you this morning. The first step was he got his house in order. And he's telling us to get our house in order. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 2 through 5 says, Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that he had planned war on Jerusalem. So he consulted with his officials and his warriors about stopping up the water of the springs that were outside the city, and they helped him. Many people gathered and stopped up all the springs and streams that flowed through the land. And they said, why should the king of Assyria come and find abundant water? Then Hezekiah strengthened his position by rebuilding the entire broken down wall and heightening the towers and the other outside walls. And he repaired the supporting terraces of the city of David and made an abundance of weapons and shields. The first thing Hezekiah did to get his house in order was he blocked off the bad things. He saw that the springs outside and the walls of Jerusalem, and he thought to himself, why do I want to give my enemy access to the city? And why do I want to give my enemy any reason to hang around? You see, if I leave the springs there, the enemies have reason to hang around. The enemies have reason to linger. And I believe right now we have to realize that we can't give the enemy a reason to linger around us or have presence around us any longer than it needs to be. As a matter of fact, nothing should cause the enemy to linger around the child of God. Nothing. Because we don't want that enemy to attack us when we're not looking. So what we have to do is we have to strengthen our resolve. We can't give the enemy a foothold in our land. And Hezekiah was determined not to give the enemy a foothold in his land. He blocked off the bad. And we've got to block off the bad things that we see that are coming our way. We can't let them get close to us. Even if you think you might need them at a convenience. How many of you have seen the movie Fireproof? Kirk Cameron, what a wonderful movie it was. In the movie Fireproof, Kirk Cameron's character had a problem with pornography. And he was watching pornography on the internet and on a computer at home. And it caused problems in his marriage. His wife knew what was going on. And every time that she would come in, he'd be looking at something. He would flip it over to looking at a boat or something like that. But he knew that it was causing problems in his marriage. So in order to block off the bad, after getting through the whole story, in order to block off the bad, Kirk Cameron, he took a bath to that computer. Now we use computers for everything nowadays. We use computers for everything from our budget to all kinds of different things in our lives. And even though we think that we might need something for convenience, if it's causing the enemy to linger around you or come in and tempt you and do things to you that you know God wouldn't want done to you, then it's time to block that out. It's time to get rid of that. It's time to take a bath to it, ladies and gentlemen. You cannot let the enemy linger around you or supply strength to the enemy. And just by keeping that computer in his home was supplying strength to the enemy. Just like the springs would have provided strength to the enemy as they were lurking outside the walls of Jerusalem. In times of uncertainty, listen to me, Satan will use material possessions, he'll use money, he'll use favorable activities to try to cause conflict in your life. New truck note instead of buying groceries for the family. A new side-by-side instead of paying medical bills. A new activity on Sunday morning instead of going to church with your family. We need to be very careful that we are not allowing Satan to use these things to cause conflicts in our lives. And we have to remember that Satan is smart. This guy has been deviling for about 6,000 years. He's smart, he's cunning, he's intelligent, and he's going to try to hit you with the thing that will cause you the most temptation in your life. Here's one that people don't like to hear. What about your friends? They may be pushing you in a direction that God doesn't want you to go in. It may be time to cut them off. You have to ask yourself, in any relationship you get in, is this relationship going to bring me closer to Christ, or is it going to pull me away from Christ? Is it going to draw me towards God, or is it going to pull me away from the things of God? Stop allowing things in your life that will cause the enemy to linger and hang around. The next thing he did after he blocked off those bad is he mended what was broken and he strengthened the weak parts. Remember, everything that is broken or everything that is weak, at one point it was healthy and it was strong. Scripture says they had to work hard to repair what was broken. You know, my daddy always said, anything that is worth having in his life is worth working hard for. Hard work is necessary to maintain and repair things and strengthen things that have aged. How many of you have an old home? I have an older home. It's not really older. It's 20-something years old. But we find that every day we're having to do something to try to repair or maintain or strengthen. What Hezekiah did is he had to maintain things. As a matter of fact, in verse 5 it says, he rebuilt the walls, he heightened the towers and the other walls and reinforced the supporting terraces. He didn't wait until the last minute. He had been doing all of this for years. So when times get tough, the devil is going to jump in and he's going to try to use all of these insecurities against us. And it could be anything. What do you need to work on in your life? What's broken? What needs to be mended? What is weak now? It could be anything from your faith, to your finances, to your relationships with other people. We can't assume that because everything is okay right now, that everything is always going to be okay, especially in the midst of the storm. When I was a principal and taught in the Vicksburg Warren School District, we had this program called The Leader in Me. I think they still have it. And this program was fueled by the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And the first habit that you learn is to be proactive. That means you don't wait until the bad things happen. You see the bad things coming, and you be proactive and you take a stance to make sure that those bad things don't come to you. You are proactive, that you exercise initiative. You don't procrastinate or put things off. And Hezekiah challenges us to do the same thing as we put our house in order. You see something that is weak or that is broken, it's time to get busy working on it. It's time to get busy working on it and getting it back to where it's whole and where it's healthy. After Hezekiah says, get your house in order, Hezekiah comes back and he tells us, now what I want you to do is I want you to get your hearts in order. Now think about this. The number one emotion in crisis and uncertainty is fear. It's fear. But fear is not reality. Fear is an emotional response to what we know. Let's rewind back to 2019. What happened in 2019? COVID hit us like a freight train. And when COVID hit us like a freight train, there were people so afraid of what it was. As a matter of fact, there's still people who are afraid of COVID. There are still people who don't know the truth about COVID. People back then, they were so afraid that that all they knew was that they weren't supposed to leave their house. The government had people quarantined. The media kept feeding you stuff, different information. One media would say this, the other one would say this, and the CDC just kept confusing everybody. So people didn't know what to do, and everything was pandemonium, and everybody was fearful. I mean, in that media, what sells more than fear? The media knows that fear sells more than anything. So the media just kept peddling it. And what Sennacherib did in the scripture right here is he did the exact same thing in Hezekiah's time. He sent a letter to the people inside the walls of Jerusalem, and he told them, he said, "You're feeble and you're weak where you are. Compared to me, you are feeble and you are weak where they are." He tried to instill fear into the hearts of the people inside the walls, just like we had fear instilled into us when COVID struck our nation. The Bible says that he had soldiers yelling over the walls of Jerusalem, telling in Hebrew, in their own language, telling them to be scared. His plan was this: to divide and to conquer and use psychological warfare to let their own fear defeat them. But Hezekiah was smart. Hezekiah had the wisdom that only God could give him, and he appointed military officers and people, and he assembled them before him in the square so that he could encourage them. Listen to what he said in verse 6. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. Listen to me, people. It says, the Lord our God will fight our battles. Scripture says all that you need to do is be still, and God will fight for you. No matter what comes against you, if you place your trust and your faith in God Almighty, He will fight for you. What wise people do in times of uncertainty is they limit the voices of influence that is upon them, and they decide who they will listen to and who they won't listen to. I want you to listen very close to me on this one. If you let ungodly people fill your mind with ungodly information, then you're going to find yourself in an ungodly mess. Amen. There's a reason the Bible says 365 different times, "Do not fear." 365 times, one time for every single day of our calendar year. When we fill our hearts with fear of the unknown, we allow Satan to depress our spirits and cause us to be tempted to doubt like we never have before. But remember, because of who you are in Christ Jesus, we are a people of faith, not fear. We are a people of faith, not fear. And we have a Father in heaven who tells us, "For I am with you, for I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." We have His Son who tells us that in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. We have the Apostle Paul who wrote in Romans 8:31, "If God is for you, who can be against you?" In 8:28, he actually said, "For good things come to those who love the Lord." The truth of the matter is this: in order to truly get our hearts in order so that we don't succumb to the very fear that Satan is trying to plant in our lives, is we have to make a decision. And that decision is to give your life to Christ. Because when you give your life to Christ, you can face any uncertainty. You can face anything that causes doubt, fear, and depression in your system. You can face it with the words of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi when he said, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Whether I have plenty or whether I am in need, whether I'm in turmoil, whether I'm at the height of the mountain or the bottom of the valley, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. You see, when Christ died on that cross for us and we placed our faith in His blood and His death and His resurrection, He transforms us from the inside out. And He gives us a strength inside of us that we can never know without Him to face these uncertain times that we live in today. Without Jesus, I don't see how people make it in this world. And without Jesus, I couldn't make it in this world. So Hezekiah, he tells us, he says, you need to get your house in order. You need to get your hearts in order. And then the last thing you need to do is you need to pray. And you need to pray until the peace comes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 20, it says that Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, they lamented over this. They prayed to heaven about this. And they chose to trust God over the whole situation, because He's the only one that can give you peace. Nobody in this world or nothing in this world can give you peace. Only Father God can give you peace. Amen?
Amen.
You say, well, I've been praying and Brother Chris, I still don't have peace over my situation. Remember this too, that God's timing and your timing are not the same. He's not on your clock. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry. He said, why worry about today? I mean, tomorrow, when today has enough troubles of its own. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, he said, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, it's hard when you're facing a situation, when you're facing trouble, when you're facing uncertain times, not to think that the only thing that's going to solve my problem is if I get some more money. The only thing that's going to solve my problem is if I get a new job. The only thing that's going to solve my problem is if I seek revenge. We've got to trust God for the right answer. Because in our own strength, in our own wisdom, we are never going to have the answer that God wants us to have. You know, we're such an anxiety-ridden people. Every single one of us, this whole world, we are just an anxiety-ridden people. But the truth of the matter is, until you start praying about it, you're never going to find the peace that you desire. In this ever-changing world that we live in, we're going to face uncertainty at every turn of the corner. From the status of our jobs, to the status of our bank accounts, to what's going on in our families. We'll face sickness, we'll face disease, we'll face sorrow, we'll face strife, we'll face pain. There'll be backstabbing and backbiting. People are going to continue to be people. Unfavorable circumstances, unpleasant situations will continue to arise in your life. Countries will continue to fight. The media will continue to sell fear. Politicians will continue to lie. We live in uncertain times. But one thing is certain. That Father God, He sits on the throne and He is in control. Amen?
Amen?
Just remember this. Jesus said, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Times may be uncertain, but one thing is for certain. In Christ, there is no uncertainty. Spend some time making sure that you get your house in order, that you block off all the bad things and you mend all of those things that need to be fixed. Get your heart in order. Make sure that your heart is right with Christ Jesus. And then pray. That's the only thing that will ever get you through the times that we live in. You think about that final lap. When I think about the final lap of a race, I think about cars just jockeying to get into place. Who's going to be first? Who's going to be second? Who's going to be third? And as I think about that, I think about, you know what? I'm always going to be first because I've got Christ. I'm always going to be in the victor circle because I've got Christ Jesus. And I can say that with a confident assurance that as I run my race, I'm going to meet my Lord and Savior, and He's going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And I'm going to be able to say with confidence, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have met the faith. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." Because of who you are in Jesus, you will be in that victor circle. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God Almighty. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Father, that even though times may be uncertain, we have a certainty in knowing that you are in control. We thank you, Father, that you will give us the, as we face uncertain times, that you will give us the wisdom that we need, the strength that we need, that we will work underneath your power, Father. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you provide for us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that there's someone here that is struggling today, no matter what they're struggling with. I pray, Father, that as their times are uncertain, they will find a certain, sure, and sure hope in you, Lord. I pray, Father, in Christ's name, that they will lift up their problems to you. I pray, Father, that they will lay them at the foot of the throne, and I pray, Lord, that they will leave them there for you to deal with. Father, you are the one who gives us peace, and I pray for peace upon each person in this sanctuary. And I pray, Lord, that everyone here within the sound of my voice knows your Son, Christ Jesus, as Lord and Savior. But if they don't, Father, I pray that today that they will realize that they can't make it in this world without you. Nor will they ever make, Father, that they will choose to give their life to Christ Jesus, accept Him as their Lord and Savior. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we sing our hymn of invitation, if you have burdens upon your heart, bring them to the altar. Or right there where you sit, just lift them up to the throne room of God. He wants to hear from you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, please come.
Never thirst again.
love you, we praise you, we thank you for today. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us as we leave and bring us back together at our appointed time so that we may love you, worship you, and keep you. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great Sunday.
All right.